Invite Ali up. She's going to be preaching to us this morning. Do come up, Ali. And as she comes, just to point you to a few resources which will help you get to know a bit more about her. There's a little Grove booklet called Pioneer Ministry and New Housing Areas there on that table, and a few other things. So if you want to read around the topic and think about how you can be involved. But Ali, it's lovely to have you here. Why don't you introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are and your sort of current ministry.
Quickly put that down there. So I am a minister, I'm a Baptist minister in a new housing area, been there over 10 years, and we've seen there people come to faith and a church being birthed. And then whilst I've been doing that, I've been called to a wider ministry. I was a Baptist regional minister. We have associations rather than dioceses in the Baptist tradition. So I was doing that, and then the kind of national ecumenical new housing thing has kind of grown and grown. So I felt a call to lay down my paid role that I was doing with the Baptist Association to serve God kind of nationally and ecumenically, to encourage and to inspire people, I think, to follow God's call to be in new housing areas.
Great. Well, shall I pray that you will encourage and
yes,
inspire
please.
Us as you open God's word for us.
Yeah, I've set the bar high there, exactly. Didn't I?
Father God, thank you for bringing Ali here. We pray for her as she opens up your word. And Lord, by your spirit, will you be challenging and provoking and encouraging and inspiring us, Lord, to be the church in the parts of the world you call us to be. In Jesus'
yes,
name.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Simon. And I really appreciate your invitation to be able to come and share with you today. It's great to be one body of Christ together, isn't it? And I'm passionate about us working together across different denominations and traditions, because we're all the body of Christ together. And so it's great to be with you, and thank you for your generosity in inviting me. When I was about 5 or 6, quite little anyway, you'll have to excuse me, my voice seems to have gone a bit. I brought up my water, so hopefully it won't be too annoying. My brother, I'm the youngest of 4 children, and my brother had learnt a passage, I think it was a psalm, at Sunday school, and I was considered too young at 5 or 6. And I'm quite a strong personality, and I was rather put out by the fact that I was considered too young to learn some of the Bible by heart. So I come from a Christian family, and I did Bible notes, and that night I thought, well, I'm not going to be outdone by my big brother. I will learn whatever passage it is in my Bible reading notes that night. And the passage that night was Genesis 12, 1 to 3 in the old RSV, which I then learnt by heart. And that was the first reading that was read to us so well. I, of course, had absolutely no idea what any of it meant. I just learnt it by heart because I could. But the amazing thing was that I had learnt a really significant passage of the Bible. Genesis 12, 1 to 3, where the Lord says to Abraham to go from his country and his kindred and his father's house to the land that he would show him, where he would make of him a great nation, he'd bless him, and he would bless those who blessed him and curse those who cursed him, and that he would be blessed and he would be a blessing to all people, is absolutely a key passage of Scripture. Biblical scholars are fairly united in agreeing that that is a passage of the Bible that unlocks the whole of Scripture for us, that it unlocks the mission of God to us. How amazing that at that age, God enabled me and encouraged me to learn that bit of the Bible. And actually, it's been hugely significant in my life. Not only does it kind of foreshadow the whole of the gospel, in that Abraham was called to leave and to go to a place and to be a blessing and to lay down his life, we then hear those kind of words echoed in the words of Jesus later when he says, anyone who wants to be my disciple must lay down their selfish ways, take up their cross and follow me. And we hear all through the narrative of Abraham something of the gospel that is later fully revealed in Jesus. And so a massive privilege to have learnt that passage. But not only Is it significant in terms of the biblical narrative and unlocking scripture to us? It has become a passage of the Bible that is very significant to me individually. On January the 17th, 2008, I was sitting in what we as Baptists call a Baptist cluster meeting, and I don't know if you might call them a chapter or a deanery meeting, but it's sort of the time when all of the clergy get together. Now, I'm sure within the Anglican Church, those are very, very holy times within your tradition. In ours, you know, we're sort of gathered there, it's lunchtime, everyone's brought their kind of packed lunch, and I remember this particular day, it was a bit rainy and we were all trying to recover from Christmas. And I'm going to be very honest with you, I was not really expecting some massive encounter with God. But we did the thing that I'm sure whether you've ever been to a deanery, a chapter or a cluster meeting will recognise, where you go around the room and everyone shares the thing that they want to be prayed for and then you pray. Have some of you been in those prayer meetings? Yeah. So we did that, and somebody said that they wanted us to pray for this particular place, and I hadn't heard of it, and I said, where's that? And they said, oh, that's that bit where all those new houses are coming later. And I'm like, oh, okay. He said, I just appreciate us praying. And although I wasn't really expecting God to do anything, as I bowed my head to pray, I had this phenomenal encounter with God, where I felt God say to me, that's where I want you and your family to go. I want you to move onto that new estate and to bless the people there. And it was one of those moments when I thought, everybody else must have seen what's happened, because my knees were going up and down. I felt hot. My stomach was churning. But of course, they didn't, because it was all kind of internal things. But it was a huge moment of encounter with God for me, and over the next 24 hours, I kept sensing God's word to me and speaking, and that was a moment of calling. God had said to Abraham to leave the place he knew and to go to a new place. This was a narrative that I held dear, and I was in a place where God was calling me and my husband and children to go from the place we'd lived for the last 21 years, from the community that I was very much part of, to the place where we'd had our children and they'd been growing up, to a new place. But as I thought about these words that I felt I had sensed from God, and obviously I went through a big discerning process with all sorts of other people who were holy and wise and all of that, but they straight away felt deeply ingrained in Scripture and in God's narrative of what it is that he calls us to do. And I'm just going to pick out a few things from the story of Abraham that has resonated with me, and I pray might resonate with you, whether or not the thing that God is calling you to is Long Cross. So yeah, my heart is for new housing areas, but God's call on our life is forever it is that God's the place that God is calling you to. Abraham's call to bless and ours. Abraham had that encounter with God, didn't he, where he knew God's blessing on him. Amazing. I mean, we don't know exactly what it was like, but in some way or other, he had this encounter where he knew that God was pouring out his blessing on him. Now, we're all very kind of middle class here, so I won't get you to put your hand up. But just if I said to you, how many of you have had an encounter with God where you felt God's blessing on you? I'm willing to guess that it's probably quite a lot of us. We've had that moment when we've gone, wow, God is really here present with me, and he loves me and he blesses me. And isn't that amazing? And we see it in so many stories throughout Scripture, don't we? And those are precious and special times that we hold dear. If you're a journaler, they'll be the sort of things you capture in your journal. And when you look back, you go, oh, yeah, that was amazing that time. But we see in this that Abraham was blessed, but not just for his own benefit. He was blessed to be a blessing to others. God reveals in this passage from Genesis that I learned that this was not just a personal blessing, but this blessing upon Abraham was for all people, for all nations. So that blesses us in two ways. One, it doesn't matter what nation we're from, Burundi, from Britain. I know there's some people here from America, from wherever it is we're from. It doesn't matter. This blessing was for all nations, for all people. And we have, by the grace of God, inherited that blessing. But if we've inherited the blessing, we've also inherited the call to be a blessing to all people. It's funny how different people kind of saw my call to go to the housing estate that I was called to. Other Christians often called me and my family and the three other couples who joined us in this vision the church planting group. And to some extent, that was right. We believed God was going to birth a church there. The papers, we were the first person to live on the estate, so the papers referred to me as a community leader. I'll mention the problems with that later. The local community talked about me being in charge, and people who don't come from a Christian background, particularly the children, thought I was the prime minister of my estate because they knew I was a minister and they don't really understand what that was. But actually what I was called to do was to be a blessing, to go to that place and embody the unconditional love of God with all of those people, to reflect the God whose nature it is to bless and who unconditionally blesses us through his Son. I don't think that all the families on the earth are going to be blessed through me. I mean, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? But I think probably not. But do you know, I dare to hope that all the families and the individuals and the people on the estate where I live are somehow blessed by me, my family, and by the other couples who live there. And by the grace of God, we have seen that in so many ways. Some of it is tangible, and I'll give you a silly example, but some of you will be familiar with master plans, and if you're not now, you will be if you get involved in Long Cross. In the master plan, there was no place for a community centre. And we did all sorts of things, mainly from my house. We have an open house and did lots of things there. And then also, through working with churches together, we got a porter cabin. But when the porter cabin was on ground that was going to be built on and all of that, so we did lots of things outside, and the porter cabin was going to be taken away, and the council were a little bit embarrassed because we'd started a toddler group and a coffee morning and a lunch club. By that time, a church had emerged that kind of met in our house and all of those things. All of this stuff was going on, and the council and the team, I'd made good friends with them, and they were embarrassed that they were then going to take away the porter cabin and there was nothing else to be done. And I used to say to them, well, it's okay, guys, because when we get the community centre, and they say, Ali, there's not going to be a community centre. But there was. Because the council were embarrassed that we had been doing so much that they were going to take away all the facilities that we'd been using to bless the community. And lo and behold, we have a community centre. And I believe that is part of God bringing his blessing to the community through us. Abraham also had the call to have faith, which the writer of the Hebrews reflects upon in the second reading that that was brought to us. Hebrews said that Abraham took a step of faith into a place that he didn't know and he couldn't see. And God called us to a place and to a people that we couldn't see because it was fields at the point where I had the call to go there. To a people that we didn't know. I was called as a Baptist minister to lead a church that didn't exist. And who knew? It may never exist. Knowing the story of Abraham and Abraham's faith made it a bit easier to ground my story in God's story and the story of Scripture. God says in this verse, and I think I've got it here, yeah. By faith, when Abraham was called to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. God gives this land to Abraham as his inheritance. And somehow, in some kind of weird way, God has sort of given us the estate that we live on, sort of as an inheritance. Somehow God prepared the ground of that place. He's given us an acceptance by the lovely community where we've made loads of friends and we've been really accepted. We've found favour with the council and with the housing associations. And by faith, we've made our home in this little bit of the promised land that God has given us. Now, there's always problems and issues, aren't there? Abraham and Sarah, as we see a bit later in the reading, were too old, weren't they? And I love the fact that it said, and Abraham as good as dead. How encouraging is that? Any of us ever feel as good as dead? You know, I mean, and yet God did amazing things through Abraham and through Sarah. Because we're always too something, aren't we? And all the calls in the Bible, people are always too something. We're maybe too old or too young or too poor or too rich or too busy or too ordinary. We're always too something. And that's kind of where God's grace and where God's strength in our weakness comes on. I don't know if there's students here. I'm looking around. Nobody's wearing a badge that says student, but I'm getting a nod there are. I've sort of had a bit of a word for students, so I'm kind of sharing it where I go. I kind of feel like maybe students, I don't know if there's people here who are students and they're kind of leaders in the Christian Union or I think there's Fusion, isn't there? My daughter went to Royal Holloway's. I got a little bit of a knowledge of Royal Holloway. I'm sure it's not Holloway, Royal Holloway. You know, it's all different places in which you can lead. And within our universities, there are godly students with huge leadership skills. And I feel like they come out and don't quite step into church leadership at that stage. But I've got so many skills in leadership. And the other thing they're doing is they're looking to find somewhere to live post-uni. And I want to say, is God calling you to move into a new housing area? Is God leading you in that kind of way? There's loads of 20 to 40 year olds in our new housing. And when you come out of uni and you're a young professional moving into your chosen career, there are so many ways in which you can connect with the communities on our new housing estates. Someone at the beginning when we were setting it up said, this is just like a uni campus. We sort of, you know, there's clubs to start and there's friends to make and there's people to welcome. So many skills that students have learnt while they're at college, as they also learn how they embody the gospel as they make friends and hang out on the campus, or in this time, on a new estate. But of course, it's not just about stepping out in faith. It's about who you are when you get there. And we see here Abraham's call to be humble. In Hebrews 11:9, it says that he's willing to be a stranger in the land with no rights or possessions. I think as the body of Christ in this country, we've learned a lot about the mistakes of the past in mission, haven't we? We've learned that going into places and trying to colonize them and take over and take all of we are and impose it on a different place is not necessarily what God has wanted. Abraham goes with a humility to be a stranger in the land with no rights or possessions. We go into new places that God has called us with a humility that we are strangers, we are new people, whether that be onto a new housing estate or into your workplace or your college or your street or wherever it is. And it's easy sometimes when we feel a real call from God to go with a sense of entitlement. You know, I've had a call from God and I'm here now. And yet that's not the way in which Jesus came. Philippians says he came with humility as a servant. I know people who have kind of gone onto a new housing area with a job title from the church, and they've alienated people because they've gone in calling themselves the community leader. And people on the estate are like, who says? They don't really care about what titles we've given each other within the church. They're not really bothered about that. And we need to go in with an attitude of a servant, waiting for an invitation like the disciples when they were sent out as the 72 in Luke 10. They were waited to be invited in. They took their peace and their blessing, and they went to the places they were invited. However grand we think we might be, however much we might be affirmed within our church circles, we go out into the world with humility. We go with the authority and the calling of God, and we've got that. But God will open the doors and will call us into places. And I was horrified that the papers called me the community leader. But when people in my community ask me to lead, that's different. When the people in the community do that, then that is an appropriate place to respond to that leadership. Oh yeah, I didn't show you that. And we see Abraham's call to submit to God. He's told to go from, in the old RSV, to go from his country and his kindred and his father's house to a new place. That's actually quite a big deal. You know, we read it quickly in that verse, don't we? But any of us have left a place which felt like home and gone to a different place, know that that's actually, that verse contains a lot. Abraham had lost his brother, so he's going away from his brother's place of death, and he then also leaves the place where he's lost his father. He leaves behind all that history, all that family history, all of his rootedness into this new place that God had taken him to. And it's not lightly that I say, is God calling us to move on to a new estate, to maybe leave the place where you've had your children or brought up your children, or the place that's got many memories, but maybe God's calling you to that, or to another place. And this is what I alluded to in the introduction, that this foreshadows the gospel, doesn't it? Where Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must lay down their selfish ways and take up their cross and follow me. And the journey of what it means to lay down my life has been really huge for me as I've done this journey onto this new estate. I thought I was doing a huge missional journey. I'm taking my missiology, I'm going out and I'm proclaiming the gospel. Actually, the person who has had the gospel proclaimed to first is me. The person who's had the gospel renewed in them first is me. And I've been on a huge discipleship journey of what does it mean to be that person who lays down my life, who submits to God, who embodies that call that was to Abraham and to all of us who come afterwards, to go and leave the place that we have been in and go to a new place, to go with God's blessing, to be a blessing. We're called to submit, and I don't underestimate the difficultness of that, of what that kind of feels like, to lay down our lives, and it hasn't always been easy. There's times when it's been very challenging and difficult. But the blessing of Abraham is only released as he obeys and leaves. He could have stayed away, couldn't he? He could have stayed in Tehran and just gone, well, you know, I had this amazing encounter with God. Oh, it's phenomenal. He could have, you know, shared it all as much as he wanted to, but actually the blessing was not released until he left and obeyed. But the good news is that it's in the leaving and the laying down of life that life comes. Because Abraham has fullness of life, and so do we. I think it's the next one. Oh, have I done something wrong here? Yeah. Because the verse doesn't end with lay down your life and take up your cross and follow me. It says, whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. In laying down our lives, in leaving and obeying, the blessing is released. And that is where we find life. And although I think I would say that in some ways the last 12 years of my life have been the most challenging ones, as we've had an open house and encountered all sorts of people and felt under threat at times. We have a very mixed demographic in our community and some very people who've had difficult lives, and because they've had difficult lives, they are angry, and some of that anger comes out on us. So it hasn't always been easy. It hasn't always been easy having people in our house overnight, especially when we still had teenagers living at home with mental health issues, making a noise all night and crying out. It hasn't been nice when people have been against me because we've loved people that they don't love. So they've been challenging years, but they have been the most life-giving years. For the times when I have seen God do more than I could have asked or imagined, where I've seen people come to faith, come off addictions, where I've seen a church be birthed, where I've seen me and others go deeper into faith. Even today, I've had a text from someone who's had a word from God who, you know, whose life has been so tricky and even now is really, really difficult. She doesn't have enough money to feed herself and her family, and yet today she's able to talk to me about the blessing and the way that God has spoken to her, even this morning. God does more than we can ask or imagine. As we leave, as we lay down our lives, God says, I give you life. As we are part, we know that the heart of the gospel is that as we join in the death of Jesus, we join in the resurrection. Those things go together. I'm still in my community and still living there and still co-ministering there, but God is now leading me into this new journey of faith where he called me 2 years ago because it gave me time to get used to the idea of walking away from my paid job that has a title and, however much we don't like to say it in the Christian world, some status as a regional minister and a place within my denomination, to live by faith and to allow God to provide. And in the very week when I told my team that I was going to leave my job and felt that God had said to me that he would bring the work that he wanted me to do, and in that very week nobody knew, I'd only told the team, emails came in with people saying, will you come and work with our diocese, will you come and do this. Two major emails that week opening up new things. Things like that I just would never have expected to happen, like an invitation to work with the Archbishop of Canterbury's Commission on Housing, Church and Community to look at how we're engaging as the body of Christ in this country with new housing. It was only by stepping out and saying, okay, I'm going to do that, of laying things down, that the blessing comes. I am joining God's mission. I'm trying in my own limitation and imperfection and all of the things that I haven't said a lot about, but we all know, I'm no more perfect than any of the rest of you are. We're all doing this within our own humanity and our own limitations, but in God's strength, I'm trying to embody something of the gospel that started with Abraham. Well, it started before that, but was named in Abraham and goes right through the biblical narrative. And I just want to wonder, how is God calling you to be a blessing, to have faith, to be humble, and to submit to God? It's not very good English, but this was the way I wanted to put it. Are you up for it? Are you up for joining in God's adventure, to stepping into the fullness of life that he has for each and every one of us? And do you want to make a difference and change the world? Abraham changed the world, even though it didn't, he started it off and it all came later, but he changed the world, didn't he? And I believe that God uses each and every one of us as we submit to him to step into that and be part of his life-changing story. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, as we draw to a close this morning, we're going to use this next hymn, which reminds us that Jesus Christ is the foundation of his church, and he's still building his church.